You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, this is Girls on Road, an all-Black female collective that exists to be heard. We're here to proudly represent our different experiences of Black womanhood. We are a group of like-minded creatives, and each episode you'll hear from three of us. Speaking up today is Kemi.
It's your girl Kemi, and my embarrassing story is, oh, it actually makes me cringe thinking about it. So basically, I was in year four and I had a good friend called Sophie. She was either in like year six or year seven, because I've always been that bitch. I'm so joking. She was my mum's friend's daughter. I told her once that I had this crush on this boy in my year. In year four, disgusting, I know. Wow. Anyway, it was approaching Valentine's Day and she took it upon herself to make a whole Valentine's Day card for this boy. So she made it on Word, yeah, and it was proper pretty. I still remember everything about that card. It was like in pink, it was in colour. At the time, that was like bang, bang, oh wow. So like, she gave it to me and I was like, oh my God, this is intense. What do I do? And she was like, give it to him. And I was like, I can't give that to him. That's, what if he says no? That's crazy. Anyway, I showed my mum and my mum was like, you better not disrespect Sophie. You have to give it to him. I was like, what? Yeah. She crazy. My mum's not from the UK, so her perception on life is just a bit warped. So yeah, she was just like, no, don't disrespect Sophie. She put a lot of time into making that card. Give it to this boy. So tutus now, I get into school early because I don't want no one to see me, and I slip it into the boy's like tray. Do you know everyone has their tray?
Yeah, the plastic
one. Yeah. Oh, no. So I slipped it in there. Okay, he comes into school, this boy, and then he looks in the tray and he's like, I've got Valentine's card. Who's it from? This is disgusting. God. Obviously, I turn bright red and I just denied it. Everyone's like, oh my God, is that, who was it? Was it you, Kemi? And I said, nah, not me. Nah. Not me.
No,
nah, I'm not doing that. I said, I blamed it on this girl, Chloe. Everyone was laughing at Chloe for the whole day, yeah? It was me.
Well, now it's coming out. Isn't it? Hold your head up high.
Thank you. But then, since then, I knew, man can't lie, and I can lie, girl. That's so bad, but yeah, I cannot believe I slipped a little Valentine's card underneath his tray. That's bless. So gross.
I feel dude. Like you've actually shared the most devious moment where you shagged someone else and you pinned it on them.
Isn't
but
it?
Embarrassing. But hey ho,
hey ho,
Sorry. And Emma, I'm hoping yours is a bit more, I don't know, childhood like, you know.
Yeah, listen. I had Christian parents, you better believe I have embarrassing stories to us. What's good, everyone? My name's Ella. So my embarrassing story. Okay, so when I was younger, I think this is probably about year two or something. School told us, oh, we're going to have like a Halloween day, because we had to go to school on the same day as Halloween. So they were like, you know, come dressed up and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Come now. Obviously, I'm not going to tell my parents. I know already what they think, mm-hmm. especially my mom. Mm-hmm. Like, she's going to be like, no, it's demonic. She definitely said it was demonic. I still haven't watched Harry Potter because my mom was like, yeah, I've never seen any. swear down on my life, never seen any of the Harry Potters because I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was younger because it was demonic. And then I just got older and I was like, I don't care now.
Yes.
Yeah, literally, I was like, oh, whatever. I've missed the boat. It's so yeah. So I was like, I'm not gonna ask my mom. So I was like, I'm just gonna sneak in a Halloween costume with me. Yeah. I was like, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna come dressed as a witch.
Yes.
I had a witch's hat already in school, so I could borrow that. And then I took one of my long church skirts, you know, the one with the ripple.
My girl's a church.
It was a church skirt. Like, it looks like something that my mom would wear. I took it and a black top and I was like, oh, I stuffed it in my book bag and I was like, I'm gonna change once my mom's dropped me off. Cool, fine. I'm sweating and I'm hot because I know that this is so like anti the Bible, but I'm like, it's fine because I want to fit in. And all these kids were in fairy costumes and just a snowman, and I was like, I cannot be the only one. So go to the toilet and whatever, and I'm there and I'm quickly like trying to change so no one can see me into my, you know, fake witch's costume. And then I opened the door. Guess who I see right in front of me?
No,
it's my mom. She's standing there, she's looking at me and she's like, Ewa. Oh, the beating I received that day.
Oh no. No.
In the toilet, because she sensed it. The woman has spidey senses. She knew that I was up to some bullshit.
Oh my god.
So she saw me there and she made me completely change. She took my costume with her.
What about the church skirt?
She took it all.
That's rude.
School. She took it all. And I had to change back into my school uniform. And I had spent the rest of the day there just looking embarrassed and trying to hold it down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I would have just flung that witch's hat and said, look, mom, I'm in my church gown. I came.
I came dressed for church.
I came to show these people.
I'm dressed as a good girl.
Exactly.
I'm spreading the word.
I was that child that liked M&S.
Yeah.
I'm back there now.
Bougie since day.
What do you know what I mean? Sending that pee.
That was me. And saved my money up and I got this long tungle skirts, long ballerina pink, you know, like netted, meshy, weird skirt. And I was gassed. I thought I looked like a spice. I was gassed on my bike, a little childhood, and the bike as well. I had wheels. I was going places.
Mm-hmm.
And I get on this bike. And obviously, I live in like a gated community, so we have like, you know, boys across the road that you always play out with, and you go around the block on your bike, mm-hmm. and having fun, you know, building that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From day, a hustler since day.
Come on. And then, big up yourself.
Yeah, big up. And I got this girl, I was looking fly. And I get on my bike, and I got boys across the road, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to just go around the block and show them what I'm working with.
Yeah.
And a skirt. I didn't know. I was none the wiser that long skirts and bikes do not mix. And I think you know what comes next.
No.
I was riding, my head held high, loving my life. It get caught in the wheel. And next thing you know, it down at my ankle.
Oh, no. That is... Woo!
Wait.
I'm still riding to this day.
Did your fanny fall out? You just flopped.
Dead.
Flat. My fanny didn't fall out, but my shame did.
Oh, okay. You
tumbled, fumbled. Yes. Open for the world to see. Dead. Boy, that's horrible. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And the skirt got holes in it as well because it was mesh.
Oh, no.
So not just my pride gone, but my whole wardrobe.
All of the things.
Sis, I feel you, man. We're here with you.
Jenny, supporting you all the way.
Through your trauma. Come on, let's.
Thank you. I think we all do. I think we shared a lot. Let's get into it. Let's get into the check-in. The bit where we talk about our feelings, but for real. Considering this episode, we've got the actresses in the building. I'm sure you haven't missed these kind of questions, but I'm going to ask you one anyways. To sum up your mood to like a type of drink. What would it be?
I'm gonna go with Rubicon lychee. My mood is non-existent. Just like that drink, you like it, it's there, but like you don't care for it. That's how I feel. I'm just like non-existent. I'm just like at this point I'm very much like a meh. So like it's nice, like the lychee one's nice, but yeah, you always opt for mango first. And I'm not at that mango, like I live in the summer. So like for me right now, winter time, Oh, it's just not my season. It really just isn't. And so, like, pathetic fallacy for me is, like, really true. So, like, when the sun's shining, I just feel like, oh, better. So when it's, like, cold and miserable and raining, like, I'm just like,
seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm still, like, positive. I very much, like, take pride in the fact that my spirit is very positive and I'm a positive person. But still, I'm just very much, like, meh.
Still, you're still a Rubicon. That's a brand.
Yeah.
Woo! Yes. Pop in. In the off license, though.
Come on. Not mainstream.
Hey, I actually bought a Rubicon today. And guess what? It was passion fruit because I'm different. Hey. And it was from Tesco. Big Tesco. Wow.
Really?
We out here.
Tesco love selling stuff like that, though. They've got, like, a whole section now.
Yeah, World Foods. Shout out to World Foods.
I bet. And Sainsbury's. Bumble.
Hey, come on. World Foods is the bomb.
Sainsbury's, you don't know.
Yeah, man.
For the people.
I'm going to say that my mood in a drink this week is going to be bubble tea.
Ooh!
Yeah, because it's been stable, but every now and then, you know, you just taste the surprise. Pop. There's something that goes bump, and a bump in it, it goes, you're up and then down. It's really been...
I love that analogy. Spraying. That one's good.
Thank you, girl. So, yeah, like, I feel like I've been in a good space, but still, like, the week has just been testing me. I've got whiplash from just dodging things left, right, and center, but on a whole, I feel good. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all the pops that I've had this week have been for the better. So I'm feeling great. I'm feeling good. My birthday is gonna be coming up next week. Hey! 7th of December, Arriba. Baby.
Oh, you must be so
sad
happy.
Sad season.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, but I always feel like it's funny because on the run up to my birthday, things are always shifting around me. Like, it's like my life is fully trying to go, like, here's some last few tests for some things that you need to learn going into year 23. So that's kind of where I've been at. I felt good because I love, especially coming into December, I'm always like, yes, you know. But I know that I'm learning those last little bits of 22. Those last little golden gems, and then I'll be, you know, ready to enter a new year of my life. I am. Yeah, that's me.
Shining.
That's me.
Love that.
Thank you, girl.
For me, I'm a Pepsi that was once fizzy and now it's just...
No!
Still. Oh, no.
It's just...
But why?
It's is she flat, flat?
It's flat, flat.
Flat. No, I'm so sorry to hear that.
What's going on?
Pepsi, not even a Coke.
Not even a Coke.
How can you do Pepsi like that? Wow.
We're not endorsed.
Listen, Pepsi, we're joking. Come on.
Yeah. If you're listening,
give us the money.
I mean, I was once like fizzy, but I'm just feeling a bit flat. But you know what? Maybe if you tie it tight enough, sometimes you can keep some of the fizz, and then when you open it, it still makes that sound. So maybe I'll get
yes.
Now on Queen of the Week, where we give flowers to the women that deserve it. Who is wearing the
Queen? The Queen of the Week for me is Miss Polystyrene. She was actually a half British, half Somali punk icon in the 70s. Wow. She fronted the band X-Ray Specs, and her look as well as her name was completely unconventional. She had kind of like short hair, short like afro and braces. And she was like really cool. She talked a lot in her lyrics about the environment, consumerism, capitalism, hence her name, Polystyrene. I just think she was really cool because like when we think of punk, we don't necessarily think of black women in that scene, or when we think of rock, we don't think of black women, but half these songs were written about black women. Brown Sugar, let's get it correct.
All about being in spaces that people don't think that we like can be in,
for sure.
Best believe we're everywhere.
It's like a British icon, so she can hold her own flowers, you know. So just full ratings to her. I just think she's a really, really cool human, and she deserves all the flowers, all the roses.
That's literally what Queen of the Week is all about, like reaching up these people who maybe not everybody knows, shine a light on all those people, because there's so many women who deserve to be Queen of the Week. So gas her up, and then now we're on to Gas Girl Gas, the bit of the show where we like Yes Girl Yes, where it's all about boosting each other up and acknowledging our achievements no matter how big or small. So what's been one of your highlights or achievements of the week?
This week, I did my first voiceover, basically. And I did it once and then it was all right. And then we had to redo it. And then they really liked the re-edit that we did. So yeah, I guess that's my achievement of the week.
Amazing. Well, that's so weird. That was the same for me as well this week.
Wow.
That's super weird. And I was like, oh yeah, mum will do this. Quick voiceover, quick things. That's so funny.
Imagine we're in sync, Kemi. What's going on?
I know. I love this collective.
I had this thing that was going through and I wasn't sure. I was so sure that it was going to go ahead. And then they like emailed and were saying, oh, you know, it hasn't been decided. And I was like, what? I thought like the reason I got picked is because it was decided. So it kind of like threw me off. And then I kind of got the videos together that people did from the group and sent it off and was a bit, you know, on the fence and a bit worried. I was under the impression that we were like picked to do this project. In the end, when I sent them videos and then they looked through them, they were like, yeah, okay, we've decided on your idea. So I'm really
excited. We love it.
Yes. It's something to look forward to as well. So getting into the meaty part of the section, or I mean, I'm trying to think of an alternative because there's vegans out there.
The robust.
The main part. Yes, the robust, nice part of the podcast. Time for the group chat. Let's step into the group chat where the tea is always hot and the talk stays steaming. This is a moment where we can talk about real things in a real way, providing our different perspectives to the conversations happening on and offline. This episode, we are talking boundaries. How do you draw the line when it comes to boundaries between your friends, your families, and not forgetting your partners? And how do boundaries affect your everyday, and how do they help you remain, like, you know, at peace with yourself? So starting off the conversation, do you have any boundaries that you've already set? If we're talking about friends and that kind of sense, one I can think of is, and they might not be permanent, by the way, they might just be something that you've put up for a while, time being, and then you felt different. So I was having a rough week, this is like months and months ago, but I do practice boundaries. Mine are like not very permanent, mine are like for the time, like how I'm feeling in the moment. And I met up with a friend of mine and I just said, I do not want to speak about like relationships, like love or like my partner today, like when we meet up. I hadn't seen that person in a while. And I was like, I just want to talk about like just anything other than that. Just, I feel like we're so focused on talking about like relationships, your job. I want to talk about and like the world and like being, rather than talking about my partner who I can talk about all day.
Absolutely. You know,
that kind of thing.
Well, boundaries are something that I, especially as of late, have really had to think about and understand. Like, I really deeped that I didn't, for a long time in my life, I didn't have any boundaries and I didn't understand what they were like. And I think that's a lot to do with like my childhood and the, well, you know, parents and also the experiences that I've had in, you know, former relationships and things like that. And I think I had to kind of reflect on myself when I was talking about it with like my counselor person and just reflect like, do I have any boundaries? Is it because I don't have any boundaries that I'm ending up in situations that ultimately are disadvantageous for me? And I think with boundaries, like, it's just about understanding what do you need in order to feel good and how often do you need to compromise? So like for me, one big boundary that I have in my life is I really don't enjoy people speaking bad on me or the people around me. So like there's some jokes that just don't run with me. Because that's my life that you're talking about and you're putting it into the atmosphere, and I try not to surround myself with that kind of energy. And the thing is, like, not everyone around you is going to like that, do you know what I mean? There's 2 years ago that I wouldn't have cared about stuff like that, but now because I'm different and I know what I need in order for me to be okay, that's like a big, you know, a big boundary and things like that. And I think it's just about thinking about yourself, and in a way it's I think setting boundaries, healthy boundaries, is a form of self-love, because that's your way of prioritizing your health, your well-being, like how good your mental is above anything else, I guess.
I really, really enjoyed listening to that. I definitely think that's something I need to work on. I'm so frivolous and I'll just say whatever. Do you know what I mean? Just and not even think necessarily too much about the consequences. I can be a bit, you know, so sometimes maybe having boundaries for myself and saying, Kemi, no, this is not the time to put your foot in it. Shut up.
shut your face. You know, I have to check myself certain times. Just like, just the way that I talk to, I don't know, I just have no care in the world sometimes, but that can be to my detriment. I also really, 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 really hate when people waste my time.
I really
hate to the bottom of my cot when people waste my time or think my time is not, you can't respect my time. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's mad. Like, I don't get where this warped perception of, I'm just available at the ready for you whenever, you know, like, work boundaries, just friendship boundaries, like, you can't be saying, I want to talk to you, and I go, okay, cool, when's a good time to talk, or can we talk later, or I call you and you don't pick up. Don't waste my time, please. I'm not a fan of that. So yeah, wasting my time is a boundary I tend to, like, you know, say to my friends, you can't be doing that. I also have very strong boundaries with my male friends. At drama school, it's different. The lines are so blurred in terms of, like, what is. It's so wacky. But just in terms of, like, my own space, like, don't come in my personal space all the time. Like, I'm not a morning person. Don't come to me with huge energy in the morning. But yeah, certainly. What about you, Aisha?
I have this thing of, when I'm talking to you, actually listen. And a lot of people just don't seem to be able to hack that these days. And it's like, I'm confused. Yeah, just this boundary of having time to myself, like my mom, like, especially with my mom, I'm an only child, so I live in a house with her. And she's like my whole family, really, like most of the time. And just having this boundary of, I'm not on my laptop right now, or I'm not always completely available to, like, help you with watching that TikTok that you don't know how to click on. Like, sometimes I actually have things that I need to do, and I have to set boundaries because my mum just sees me and thinks that I'm constantly available for these kind of things, when it's like, I might have be in a headspace or be trying to do something, but, like, you know, you don't always see activeness, you know what I mean? I will do it when I'm, like, in that headspace of doing it. Having these boundaries, especially with such a close proximity house. Like, I do not live in a mansion. I do not have, like, this mansion where I can be in a completely different space. Like, I'm literally, like, a thin wall away. You know what I mean? At every moment.
Do you know what I've clocked about myself? And it's really bad. And you got to tell me if you think this is bad. I have, like, severed friendships over, like, if I don't like the way you've moved over a certain situation or the way that you're acting, I will just not speak to you like ever again. Like, that is really bad.
It depends.
Basically, they just took the piss. That friendship probably meant quite a lot to me at a certain period of my life. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, it's normally like close friends, but if you like move mad, I'm the person, I probably won't have a conversation with you about it. I will just leave your ass to dust. Like, I just won't talk to you again. And I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I mean, I always think with stuff like that, like one thing, when I have my conversations with friends and things like that, about who do I want to be in my life, is you have to ask yourself, is it worth the work? If you're able to, like, just stop speaking or cut off all communication with somebody that you used to be really close to, then obviously they don't mean that much to you, do you know what I mean? Or you weren't necessarily as close as you thought you were.
We thought, yeah.
And I think it's all right to be honest. And I also think with the deterioration of a friendship, that doesn't just happen. It's usually over a prolonged amount of time. And then one day it could be one thing that sets you off, and then you completely understand, okay, so this is where we're at now. But it would have, it would have been slowly kind of moving. And I think that's okay. Like, that's one thing that's been on my mind recently. People change. And when you change, the people that you need around you, the people within your inner circle change as well. And that's okay. Because often, like, your friends are a reflection of you. So the people around you, that's what they're connected to. So, like, somebody that Emma had said, oh yeah, you're one of my best friends, like, 3 years ago when I was at drama school or whatever, me now, that person doesn't necessarily fit into who I'm becoming, and that's all right. Like, there has to be, you know, friendships or close friendships or just non-intimate relationships.
Totally agree with you, and I'm so here for everything that you've just said. But do you ever, like, regret not putting in that work for that relationship, or are you just kind of like, nah, this is my time, this is, you need to respect me, so bye.
Do you know what, like, I feel like I've I've had friendships in the past because I'm somebody who will try too much. Like, I'll do a lot. Yeah. Like, less so now because that's become another one of my boundaries. Like, if I feel like you're just sucking and taking away from me, then I'm going to bounce. Like, you don't need to try and force that. I have myself to think about, and that in itself is a whole other thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, there's always a line, and I think it's that thing about boundaries. And if you cross that line, I always try and have a conversation, but if you don't see it, then I don't need to come and persecute myself or come and kill myself trying to convince you to see what you've done wrong. Like, you know that it's messed up, especially if we're close. You know that that's not right. So let me leave you where you are, and then maybe we can reconnect in another time in life. But I'm not going to like fall over myself trying to make it work. Yeah, it just depends on how much work you feel like you want to put in. Yeah.
I have this like inner conflict with boundaries because it's a thing that can change a lot for me, shift and shape. And I don't think I'm very strict with my boundaries either. It's hard because in a way, the things that you set, but you might not keep to, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I'm like, is that actually a boundary if you don't keep to it?
Well, no, it is.
Because sometimes these things take time to set in motion, you know? Yeah. It's kind of like if you're starting out on a new thing, for example, meditation, that's something I'm trying to get into more now. And then I skip a couple of days. I'm like, does it mean that I can't set myself goals for the next week and say, no, Kem, you're going to do 3 days out of this week of meditation, you know? Like, so that never changes in a way, if you feel me. I think another thing is not to be so harsh. I feel like hard on yourself if you don't meet those boundaries. Because you can't, again, it falls onto the thing of expectations. Like, I think I expect a lot of the friends and my family who are close around me. Do you know what I mean? I expect a lot, but I don't necessarily expect that much from an acquaintance, for example. But then also I need to be understanding that my family members, my close friends, they have a life too. For example, self-taping all the time. Like, it's hard in these streets.
I also feel like the whole thing with like having a boundary in the first place is something that you hope to achieve, and it doesn't always and if it doesn't, sometimes it just means you have to reassess, okay, what does this mean about me, what does this mean about this person, because it's really like you just trying to decipher what's going on within yourself and giving yourself room to, like, I don't know, be better or have a better outlook on like your life. So I don't think it's even that beating yourself up is just not, it doesn't do anything for you.
Another big boundary for women, is in particular Black women, is to like know your self-worth and constantly like keep checking in on that, because the world around you will tell you, unfortunately, sometimes different, and you yourself have to create those, you know, things in place to say, no, you're not gonna fuck with my self-worth. You feel me?
And I also think like you setting a boundary or deciding that you need to put this in your life, it all happens as you're getting to know yourself more. Do you know what I mean? A lot of it it comes from this internal work and asking yourself questions. And I think sometimes if you set a boundary, like, I don't know, my friends have to call me at least 3 times a week, right? And if their advice tell them that, and they're unable to they're unable to fulfill that, or they're really annoyed by that expectation I have of them, I have to assess, okay, so is this a problem with a friend, or is this a problem with me? Am I just being so, and that, like, sometimes, because we all have negative traits, we all have things that aren't great, and sometimes we might not even realize it until we have gone through a situation that presents it in front of us. But at least, you know, you're, by trying, then you, it can come back to you, and you can find out more about yourself. I always think that's why it's all right for it to be, to for it to like not always be set in stone. You're always like checking in with yourself.
Yeah,
that is what it's all about, like checking in yourself, being true to your emotions. But I do feel like as Black people, we do not, like, maybe it's a part of the culture, I don't know, or something about being hard skinned, but we do not like the idea of like going to therapy, setting up boundaries, understanding that, like, we have like issues. And why is that? I really want to tackle that in the conversation, to be honest. Like, why do you feel like we don't want, like, there's so many references in like Black shows, for example, like, oh, I think I should go to therapy. Like, Black people don't do that, and like all these kind of things. Why do you feel like we are like so stigmatized to that idea?
I feel like there's so many categories and so many things that have made us intrinsically not ask for help, because I've seen the difference in the way that people who go to private school and people who just go to normal state school have completely different perceptions on the world and how the world treats them. For example,
so true, Kemi. It's you're speaking true.
It's very true. Like if you're in a class of 30, that is much like I was in normal state school, and then I went to an extremely privileged drama school, and I went from 30 in a class to literally about 5 in a class. And then you're being asked about your opinions, your thoughts, your this. And do you know what I mean? We've never necessarily been asked about that. Your voice has necessarily been presented as the most important or the most heard. So you never necessarily ask for help. There's something about asking for help that's kind of ingrained in Black culture, is kind of like, we can do it ourselves and we can do it far better than anyone else. That's why I also think the term Black excellence can be very stigmatizing.
I so agree.
I think it's just, there's a number of things that equate to this, like the media. I don't know, we're always perceived as strong or holding it together, especially Black women. If you think about it, it's always Black women being secured as that, you know, strong character. And I think we've just lived through so many traumatic things, that trivial stuff that actually might really affect you in the grand scheme of things, we don't think it's like that important, because, you know, it's like, my dad went through this, so I can't really get upset, because then that makes me a snowflake, then that makes me a millennial, and then that makes me, I don't know, there is just that thing of just figuring it out by yourself and doing it by yourself that we just do, and not ask, it's that not asking for help thing that really is.
I completely agree, especially that thing to do with public schools and private schools. Like, I think that's such an element of it. In a private school, you are told that the world is essentially your oyster. Do you know what I mean? You're treated like you're somebody that is important, that has a voice. When in a state school, it's just not the same thing. And I think especially with Black people, both of us, men and women, we're told so often that the world expects this of you. The world wants you to do this. You need to be this for the world. That it's really about, what do you need? What does the world need to give you for you to thrive? That's never even a thing in question.
It's and for Black people, it's what you're giving the world. Facts.
Exactly. And it's always about, you need to do more because you are going to be seen as less and blah, blah, blah. And it's a lot of that is really empowering. A lot of it is about overcoming struggle as opposed to just being who you want to be, just like shining. And that comes from our educational system, both here and back home. That comes from our culture, like cultural backgrounds. Huge thing. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think that we set less boundaries?
I don't know. But for me growing up, I weren't allowed to do certain things that my white counterparts were allowed to do. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I had to lie. Sorry, mum and dad, I had to lie when I was going to house parties. That's why it just annoys me, because I know my dad was doing that when he was younger. He was hopping off to raves. They all had their way of, you know, going out. They were young ones. And I just feel like certain times these cultures set boundaries to, you know, make that culture be upheld. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
And also, the world is a scarier place in an inverted way. If the things that we have to face doesn't, unfortunately, you don't come face to face with it, but it's still very much there, so the boundaries still live on, if that makes sense. Of you can, for example, my story about childhood, I could only go around the block, I couldn't go anywhere.
I think that's also why you grow up into an adult who doesn't really, like, not everybody, that's a generalization, let me say, in terms of me as me coming from my own cultural background, like, who doesn't really understand the kind of boundaries that you need to just, like, feel good within yourself. And that's boundaries with men, boundaries with your time, not overworking, not doing things for yourself, doing things to just do things, to just enjoy. Like, not everything has to have a purpose or reason why you do it. So I think sometimes that restriction, that boxing you in can make you grow up to just think that your life has to be dedicated to work yeah. and making sure you're constantly moving, as opposed to just sometimes just taking a breather and looking at yeah. where you're at. And I also think, like, a lot of us face immense pressure. You know, everybody has so much expectations of us. Our yes. parents have expectations. The world has expectations. We have expectations of ourselves. Our friends have expectations of us. Like, and that comes from being Black. So you just end up feeling burdened all the time. And you think that there's no way that you can block that off. Like me as a Black woman, like, one thing that I've been thinking a lot as well, and also talking about in like therapy and stuff like that, is about how I, especially when I'm in big groups of people, I always feel this need to put on a face, to smile, to laugh, because, and my therapist was like, well, why do you feel like that? And I was like, well, yeah, because as soon as I'm just me, and I'm a nice person, innit, but I'm not always wanting to smile. Like, sometimes I just want to yeah. be in my own space, where I just want to be straight faced. Like, for example, story time. I was out working at this place one time. It was like a restaurant as a waitress, and I'm always usually quite smiley and I laugh and blah, 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 and good with customers. This one day, it was when I was in third year. I was tired. I had stuff to do. I hadn't really had any sleep. Like, everything was all a bit messed up. So it wasn't like I had a stink face, but I would be happy to the customers. But then when I was standing by myself, I just wouldn't be my usual bubbly self. My manager yes. comes up to me and he's like, what's wrong with you? Why do you have a face like a slapped ass? Can you perk up, please? There's this other girl, yeah, that was working with, who never smiled. This girl was always stone-faced to her, us, to customers. She didn't care. He never said anything to her like that. And those kind of microaggressions are yeah. part of the reasons why I know internally I have this thing when I'm around people where I was like, no, I always need to act like this. And that's exhausting, to the point where sometimes I just want to, like, be reclusive, and I get really, like, sensitive when other people are around me and a bit anxious. And she was like, well, that's an expectation. Yes, okay, some people might expect that of you, but at the end of the day, you're a human being. That's an expectation that you've put on yourself, or that you've taken on from what other people have given you, and you haven't put any boundaries in place to stop that from happening. So a boundary is saying, if someone comes up to me and says that, I'm just like, I'm just not having a great day, but I'm still doing my job fine, so I'm still gonna do what I'm doing, thank you very much. Do you know what I mean? That's a boundary. That's me saying, you can't determine how I'm gonna yeah. act or feel because you don't feel comfortable. So I think stuff, but that comes from, you know, childhood and yeah. life and school.
I do think now we're coming into an era where it's talked about more, and I think it's like being marketed, and I use marketed as an operative word, as a thing for Black people now, because it really wasn't back then. Do you know what I mean? It really isn't. Like, if you look at any, like, therapist scene within a movie, when have you witnessed where it's either a Black psychologist or psychotherapist or a Black patient? I couldn't tell you one. And it goes yeah. into representations and what these, you know, and also when you think about therapy, you think about it as a very elitist thing or a money thing. Like, it's expensive yeah. to go to yeah. therapy. And so it really wasn't marketed to Black people beforehand. I think now with COVID and the pandemic and lockdown, we all know, and social media actually, we all know now that we need to be aware of our mental health and take care of it. But that really wasn't a thing for Black people in the first place. Like, we had to just really survive. So the idea of therapy was actually, or is actually, laughable to some people. You know, why am I going to spend X amount of money to talk to someone?
I think that's just a thing in terms of everything, to be fair. Like, a lot of things are funny. Like, why would you go to school and not become a doctor? Yeah. Why would you do it? Like, it's just a thing, isn't it? It's just a thing. But I do think in life, it's good. I don't know. I like to think a boundary or two definitely helps. But it depends. It depends how strict it is and whether it's what the purpose of the boundary is. If it's literally just to be, like, a strict-ass mother, then maybe that's not the one. But if the purpose of the boundary is to help you feel better in yourself, then that serves
for sure. For sure, I think just more Black people just need to talk about our feelings more. We need to have more honest conversations about our feelings. I think sometimes, like, we're very easy to sugarcoat over things.
So with boundaries, it's just more of a case of, when things come up, you learn stuff, and then the new boundary might come up then.
Definitely. Yeah. I keep checking in. Yeah, I have a strong sense of morals,
definitely that coincide with my boundaries, but I don't necessarily adhere to all of my boundaries. And that can be the detriment to myself or whatever, whatever. But I do think 2021 is our year.
Yeah, come on. 2021, shine on. And with that, we want to lift up Black businesses, Black artistry. We're going to finish the show on a high because 2021 really is going to be our year, as Kemi said. So, Street Smart, this part of the show illuminates Black excellence in the shape of business and artistry, like I just said.
So today I'm going to be championing my friend's personal brand. I have so much love for her. Amazing. And she has her own accessories business called Zalika Accessories. That's Z-A-L-I-K-A Accessories. She creates handcrafted Afrocentric pieces of jewelry. That's earrings, bracelets, necklaces. And they are made with love. It's obviously Black owned. She started it herself from the ground up. She creates everything herself. They're completely unique. And extremely inexpensive. I literally recently got a necklace and two earrings from there. And they are beautiful. Every time I wear them out, I get complimented on them. And they're made from wood. Like, she is so talented. Wow. So everybody should have a look at her Instagram. And on her Instagram, you can also find the website. And I'll just say again, that's Zalika Accessories. Z-A-L-I-K-A Accessories. Shout out to Taffa. I think you're amazing. So much love for you, girl.
Big ups. Yes. So as a collective, we are more than a podcast. We also have a music show mixed by our very own DJs. We had a guest mix last time. Big up DJ Zen. We'll be having our next mix next Friday. Providing the soundtrack to your weekend. And once the world resets, the vaccine and the clubs are reopening, we will be finding a space and hosting events.
Join the party.
You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter, where we shut it up at Girls on Rose, but like gals, so G-Y-A-L-S.
It's Kemi, so I-T-S-K-E-M-I.
You can find me on Insta and Twitter as Auntie Ewa, that's spelled A-U-N-A. T-I-E-E-W-A.
That's amazing. Hey,
come on. Yes, Auntie. And mine is Aisha Charles, spelled like A-Y-E-S-H-A, and Charles like the Prince. That is it. You've listened to an episode of Girls on Road. Thank you for listening during this time. We have shared our thoughts. We have shared our truths. And through honest Black female voices. So that's it. We out.